Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know about Lane Finder, which is a partner of Hammer Lane Legends. Lane Finder is an app you can go ahead and download as a trucker, and it will help you find your dream job as a trucker. This is a truck driving app. It's not for anybody. It's just for truck drivers. And what it is you download this app and you fill out your information, and it will design a profile for you. And when there is a job in the area fitting the criteria that you're looking for in a job, they will notify you so you can get first dibs on applying and getting that job that you always wanted. Lane Finder. Go ahead and click the links in the description of this episode for Android or iOS, and you will be able to download your app right to your phone and get started today. And by using the link in the description, you're helping out Hammer Lane Legends immensely, because Lane Finder will then know that you came from us and they'll keep us around promoting their products. So thanks in advance, and let's get to the show.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. We have a great show planned for you this week, but before we get into that, let's get into the business. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share from the road, whether you're a truck driver, police officer, or somebody who drives for a living, or you just saw something crazy, please go ahead and shoot us an email at hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com, or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. But, Dad, who do we have coming on the show this week?
Today we're talking to Susan, a tow truck driver in Chicago. She's got a bunch of stories for us, and I think she's going to be an interesting person to listen to.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be an interesting person to talk to, because she has some wild stories. So let's get to Susan right now. All right, today we got Susan on the show. Susan, how are you?
Hi, fine, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, Susan, I know you got stories for the audience, and I just want to kind of lay the foundation for the audience as to who you are. You are a lady that lives, I believe you said you're in Southeast Chicago, and you own a tow truck company. Is that right?
Yep, I own a towing and auto repair company. I have light duty, flatbed, heavy haul. I'm the only woman that drives heavy haul in the city of Chicago. I've been driving tow trucks for over 30 years. I'm a Wreckmaster certified. I work with the state. I work at the state of Illinois. I work with the state of Indiana and Chicago Police tows. I don't leave my building without a 45 on my side when I get in my truck. I work in Chicago. I've been in Chicago for 30 years plus doing what I do. And we went had a whole long, about 10 years of people calling out tow trucks because they know we carry cash just to kill us and take our trucks and our money. So I've only been robbed, tried to be robbed once, but I... You want that story? That's a good one.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, if you're carrying a 40, if you're carrying a 45 and you only got somebody only attempted to rob you one time, I'm imagining it didn't end well for that person. So no. Go ahead. Tell us that story.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, I was working on this gentleman's mother's vehicle. She owed me $1,500 in repair balance. So I went over in one of my medium duty wreckers to pick up the cash from her house. She came out and paid me And my purse was on the floor of the truck. I had my wallet between my legs. And I'm putting the money away. Her son comes from the backyard with a gun and sticks it through the passenger side window. I said, oh, yeah, bro? And that's all he heard was click. Now we're gun to gun. It's you or me. So I let one loose in the air. Pow! I'm not playing with you. He runs. He's on a sidewalk. I get up the sidewalk. I'm driving down the sidewalk, peeling tires after him. And then he tries to run in his house. And Chicago has brick bungalows, which all have front faces. So before he could get up the stairs, I got my push bumper up against him, and I smashed him between the building and my push bumper. Ooh, well, I got 911 on the phone, and I'm telling you, you move, I'm going to blow your brains out. Needless to say, he went to jail, and I didn't get robbed.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Susan, you don't play around, my Lord.
No, you didn't know. I had a Cadillac of mine. My shop was loaded. The fuel pump went out. So I told my son, go drop it on the side street until I get some of these cars out of the way. And then we'll bring it in and put the pump in tonight. The key must have fell out of his pocket when he was locking the door. So I go to get the truck car. It's not there. Now I'm mad. Now, and that's how I found the dead guy in the bus stop. We'll get to that in a minute. But I buy over 300 to 400 cars a year, junk cars, with or without titles. Some I repair, resell them. Some I just throw them right over scale. So that's all part of the business. I mean, any part of the towing industry, I'm in it, and I do it. So right now, a lot of times out of the year, especially because cash towing business is a cash business, a lot of times out of the year, I kill it in the trucks with junk and cars. But anyway, so where is I at? I would get into junk and cars. Okay, so I was telling you the story. Which one did I tell you about?
Yeah, you were talking about the Cadillac.
The Cadillac. Oh, the Cadillac. Okay, so I go around to every junkyard in the city that I know buys cars without titles. Not around. I'm coming back. In my house, there's a viaduct, train viaduct, with about 6 tracks next to it. So my shop is up against the railroad tracks. So I'm coming northbound. It's a busy interstate. I'm located on Interstate 41, the front. So anyway, I'm coming down 41, going northbound, and here's the same truck, same color, same everything as mine, with my Cadillac hanging on the back, going southbound. School's getting out. It's 3:00 in the afternoon, and the security people that walk the kids across the street, they're all out there. Everything's going on. I cut him off, dead in the street. He can't go in. He had to lock his brakes or he's going to hit me. Now, and the 554s, the tow mirrors, they have 2 handles up and down. So, and they're black, just like a Glock. So I stick it out the window. You can't see my gun unless, but he's in the truck right next to me. So we're eye to eye. So he could see my gun. And I said, what are you doing with my car in the back of your truck? What do you mean your car? This guy, not a guy. We're in front of the house. The guy, a neighbor of mine, who's, I don't know, drug guy, whatever, found the keys, called this tow company, told him it was his wife's vehicle, they're not going to fix it, so he just went and junk it because she lost the title. They gave him $300 for my Cadillac.
Wow.
Now the cops are coming because of all the commotion, right? Instead of walking the kids across the street, the cops are coming. You know what I mean? And so now I know the guy's name. I know what apartment he's in and everything. And the police are over there knocking on the door, everything. And I said, bro. He's like, I don't care. I'm sorry, miss. I don't go to jail for a stolen car. You know, I'm freaking out. And I said, you know what? Today's your lucky day. I said, because I could be in your shoes right now. This could have happened to me. because somebody could have stolen a car from me. Well, I got a good story about that. Could have tried to sell me a stolen car. I said, you know what? You need to dot your I's and cross your T's. And I said, today you're not going to go to jail. Put my car down. And I let him get out of there. And then the cops took the guy to jail for calling the tow company. Because I told him, no, that's the guy, you know, the guy that called him originally. The tow guy was none the wiser because of the story. And in Chicago, it's perfectly legal if you fill out the paperwork. For example, I got called out to buy a junk van. In west side of Chicago and south side of Chicago, real shady, real shady. So it's on the west side of Chicago. And guy calls me out. There's a van and it's parked real tight up against a garage in the alley, an old Dodge Caravan or something. And, oh, yeah, that's my wife's van and transmission went out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Two young black guys and an older black dude. So, and then I noticed that the garage was open on the other side of the car. I said, okay, well, I got to turn around so I could get in front of it to pick it up anyway. And when I passed by, the old man was sweeping his garage out and he was shaking his head no. So I dialed 911. I said, look, I'm on the East Alley at 87th Street. You know, blah, blah, blah. Come on, you got to come fast. I'll try to hold him right now. Trying to sell me a stolen car. The police vapped on me from front and back. I'm locked in the alley. I can't go anywhere. They got me in the truck. I got the guy in the truck. I'm filling out paperwork. Oh, wrong paper throw it away. I'm doing anything. And I got his driver's license ID on my clipboard and stuff. And the two young guys outside took off, and we call them a beat-up squad when the police come three deep in one car. They took off after the young guys. And the guy in the truck's now, I'm not going to jail, am I? I'm not going to jail. I said, it's your wife's car. Why would you worry about going to jail? Just tell him what you told me. Get her on the phone to confirm it. Okay, okay. Okay, so anyway, whatever. They take him to jail. I go. About 6 months later, says Illinois DA going on my phone, caller ID. I'm like, oh, my God, what happened now? I almost didn't answer. I was scared to answer. So I answered it. And it was the district attorney herself calling me up. She said, when I found out you're a 100% woman owned and operated in this city, I had to call you myself. She said, because you dot your I's and cross your T's, every piece of paperwork you had, we had this guy to the we nailed him to the cross, essentially. He got 6 years because of your good work. And I wanted to call and thank you for that. And I put your business on the Better Business Bureau in the top 10 by my name on there. And I was like a breathing after she got through talking, you know. So like that's why I let the guy go that stole my Cadillac. Because in turn, it could have been me. But I don't let my business go like that. So anyway, on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, I'm out at night and my swamper, it's usually slow, especially in summertime. So I make these flyers with little cutouts with my number so people can tear it off, and we hang them on the bus stops. I throw them extra little bucks to go do this for me. We stop at every bus stop. They get out and tape them up. And then the city will come clean them off, and then by Sunday we'll put them back again, and they'll clean them off, and then by Wednesday we'll put them back again. And this is literally, that's the only advertisement I do, and I buy 300 to 400 cars a year just doing that. So I've had rolled over B trains. I've had school buses that went down off ramps. Thank God there were no children in them. When it happened, full-size school bus, and I had 2 550s to work with. And that snowstorm I started to tell you about, that was a bad one, too. With the double jackknife, it's a three. I started telling you the story, that's, there's so much to that story. I don't know if y'all want to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a good one. There's a the guy that was dead on the bus stop. So we were putting up the signs, and it was a Wednesday night. It was probably 4:30 in the morning, right before dawn. And we're about ready to get finished and go back to the shop. So, you know, I got to wait for rush hour and then I'm done. So we get done with that and we pull up, and this guy is laying in the bus stop halfway, like with his head back. Now this guy, he's got to be in his early 20s. Nice white shirt, nice jeans, nice new white Nike or Jordans on or whatever. I mean, dressed very nicely. And I'm sitting there, and my swamper's putting the tape on the sign. And I said, look at that guy over there. And he's like, yeah, he's probably drunk. I said, nah, I've been watching him. He's not breathing. I said, look at him. He's like, I think you're right. I said, go kick his foot and see if he's drunk and wakes up or something. Nope, nothing. So I call 911, and I pull on the other side of the street. And he's not, I don't see him breathing. I'm waiting for the police. And the police don't show up. Just ambulance stuff. Okay, well, at least the guy's going to get some help, you know. They threw him like a sack of potatoes on the gurney. I couldn't believe what I saw. I'm thinking to myself, that is somebody's child, potentially somebody's father, son, you know, brother. Come on now. And his phone was in the gutter, and they left it there. And I pulled up next to the ambulance, and I asked, it was a man and a lady, and I asked the gentleman, I said, is he okay? None of your business, just keep pulling off, you know, real nasty. And the lady said, when she saw me driving the truck, she said, no, he's pessimist. And I said, yeah, because I'm the one that called for the poor guy. Because people are just sitting at the stoplight, going to work, everything, like nothing. And the guy's dead, just laying there. And nobody's doing anything about it. Welcome to Chicago. My girlfriend flew in Thanksgiving and picked her up in O'Hare. We get to the corner when we're about a block from my house. Entire Chicago Police Department in front of the restaurant where we were going to go have dinner at. And then I hear it with the big bell, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts across the street. And we're all, and I says, I know the owners of that place. So we drove down the alley and back around the whole, now the police are, and I says, okay, now they start driving up on the sidewalk, unmarked car, three of them get out at a time. I said, look at that, it's homicide. See how his fat, pulling his fat belt up over his fat belly, staring at the Dunkin' Donuts while the one chef killed the other chef in there for, because he thought he was messing with his wife or something to the other effect. I don't know what that happened, but yeah, that's Chicago's finest. So we, you know, you tell them that you're getting fired at, you might not wait 30 minutes before they're scared to come. They'll wait till they don't hear any gunshots and then they'll show up. Wonder why our murder rate is so high in Chicago.
Jeez.
Yeah. And it's a madhouse. It's crazy. So people are dead in the street. Then it starts snowing. Oh, I didn't tell the one I was telling you about, this three semi-trucks I'm on. Okay. Now, I-90-94, when it's going into Indiana, you can go keep going 394 for Central Southern Illinois, or you can go I-80 West for Davenport, or you can go to Indiana I-80. And so you got I-90-94, I-80, 394, and all of that intersecting at one time. It's rush hour, and it's been snowing since before morning rush hour. So at this point, I had already been in the truck a good 24 hours. And because when it gets snowing like that, hey, I go to the truck stop. I take a duffel bag with me and shower and stay right there and keep going and till it's over with. So Indiana, lets their stuff pile up. And so they maybe plowed it once in the afternoon. So all this, there was at least 20 cars piled up. And it's, our traffic is infamous for flowing 55, 60, and then just would come to a dead stop. No warning, nothing, just dead stop. All you see is red lights. So, God, there was about 20 cars piled up in front of these semis. Now there is an overpass that comes over that, and it's a, because all these, you know, highways, interstates coming in. So all the truckers and cars and people that are coming on, because it's a big mall there. So the slow lane splits into two and literally goes between the on-ramp from the viaduct. Oh, so there's a car going through and cars were entering the ramp. However, 20 cars a mile down the road are piled up, nobody knows about. State police couldn't even get through to them yet, so it wasn't even on radio warning. I mean, I had radios blaring, nothing. Only, didn't even know the cars were up there, only that the traffic stopped. So I'm assuming it's got everything to do with Indiana DOT. And so I can't get through, and then it starts coming in the 911 calls for the cars. So I tell my flatbed driver and my two medium duty wreckers to come up the street and then come back at it and start clearing those cars. Because then I got the call from the state police about three tractor trailers jackknifed and piled up with 20 cars in front of them. So the police can't even get to the cars, let alone these trucks that are piled up. So I got a 50-ton wrecker. Now imagine this is a 50-ton straight truck, and then think you got a tractor trailer on back once you load up, and you've got to maneuver around 20 cars that are all smashed, and they're trying to clear the road in front of me. And I got my 30-ton pulled the oh my goodness. So the slow lane that went under the viaduct is where the truckers go. They're not supposed to go into the slow lane under the viaduct. On the outside of the viaduct, they have to stay on the inner inside lane. So when these cars were entering the ramp, all those piled up there, they start swerving and trying to avoid the accident. This truck's on top of these three cars. He jackknifes trying to get to the hammer lane to move over. There's already a truck in the hammer lane. The truck in the hammer lane moves left to the fast lane. So now they're jackknifed at each other. Of course, the truck in the slow lane, the off-ramp lane, hits these three cars that my two trucks in front. Thank God my guys were clear. They saw it coming because the semi-truck plared these three cars into 20 more cars. Then the jackknife hammer lane truck was turned the opposite way. So the driver's side cab was going jackknife for the passenger side of the first semi-truck jackknife. So in other words, the cabs are facing each other like right. A V, okay? The driver's side of the tractor and the hammer lane peels. Cab, sleeper, all the way up, hood. I don't even know. They took the guy out of there in critical condition. I don't know how he was alive. I really don't. Because the third truck that was right behind him, I mean, he had nowhere to go, because when the two trucks met in the hammer lane, their trailer swung out and they were blocking the shoulders. So it was all blocked off. So I got the fast lane shoulder open when I pulled the trailer over with the 30 ton. And they're all loaded. So they're all 100,000 pounds, you know. And I'm looking for hazmat, trying to walk, assess the situation mechanically, because that's the way I look at things. I don't look at the accident per the accident. I look at, okay, what do I got to do to get this clear? Because now I got DOT breathing down my neck. And it's a blizzard. You can't barely see in front of your face. Our hydraulics, our chains, everything's frozen. My swampers are all crying because they can't, you know, one guy blows a hose. Another guy can't get his line unwound all the way because it's frozen. It was just a mess. And here, DOT doesn't care, especially when all that's going on. I don't know what. And I kept saying, well, get somebody to clear the snow and I could get some more trucks in here because I needed two more, at least two more 50 tons to help me. I was not going to clear three loaded smashed semi trucks with 150 ton and a 30 ton. So the 30 ton was able to pull the center lane. The third truck that hit the two head on was able to pull it out because the air brakes, it didn't blow any of the line. It just, thank God, it didn't get to the pump. So we were able to just put in neutral and pull it back and got it to the shoulder and out the way. Now, like I was telling you before, in the wintertime, it's customary and it's quite often that when truckers are coming from the south or and they're running up north to Canada or whatever, they've got big loads, they usually run in pairs. So the first truck, we couldn't find the driver. I mean, and it wasn't hit on the driver's side, so we thought he's okay, and maybe he went for help, or he's in another truck with another truck. We don't know where the guy is. Please clear the scene for me. I'm already on scene for, at this point, maybe 4:30. It's almost 10 o'clock at night. This whole thing started at 6 o'clock. Okay, now it's dark, and I got to clear this mess. And that's the only reason I can guess why DOT didn't find this man, because even after we pulled the third truck back, the center truck, we didn't see him because he was literally under his tractor trailer. I don't know what happened, when if he flew out the window and then the other cab hit him from impact from the cars when he hit. He flew out the passenger window, and then when the semi-truck hit him, he must have hit the guy, and he was under the truck with his leg at the other end of the truck.
Wow.
And I don't know how they didn't see all the red in the snow. I think they thought it was transmission fluid, and it was blood and all the snow. So I find the man. So now, 4-hour scene turns into a 48-hour scene, and we clear the trucks. The two trucks open two lanes, and two lanes stay closed for 48 hours under investigation because it was right on the state line. So Illinois and Indiana DOT both had to get in the middle of it. Talk about a mess. Another time, I'm in the flatbed. This time, I'm running an accident, and I'm in the southeast suburbs of Chicago now, which is not far from where this interstate accident happened, but I'm on the streets. And there's an accident, a three-car pileup intersection. So I'm waiting for the police. I can't start pulling cars until the police come. So I'm waiting for the police, and there's a liquor store there. Now, at night when I'm by myself, and I don't have a swamper, I breed Doberman. So I got 110-pound Doberman sitting next to me. Here comes this, and I'm backed up in this liquor store waiting for the police to do their thing, right? This drunk guy stumbling across. Now, y'all, I don't know anybody that doesn't drive a truck. But anybody that does drive a truck, you know how big the steering wheels are. So you could imagine this 100-pound, 10-pound dog. I'm 5 feet tall doing this. I'm 5 feet tall and 165 pounds doing this, okay? And I'm a little big thing. And the dog weighs almost as much as I do, as big as I am. And he's standing on my steering wheel, rah, 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 at this guy. And the guy's staggering. I'm not afraid of that dog. Now, the flatbed I was in didn't have power windows. He walked away. The dog jumped out the window and ran after him and jumped in. And his 2 foot paws hit him right between the shoulder blade. Dude went face down, ate the concrete. And I don't know about this dog, but whenever he's went after somebody, he goes for their pants pocket. And he had this man by the pants pocket flailing him around like a rag doll, shaking him up. Like in the parking lot, the police are laughing so hard that the man's screaming, help, help. I'm laughing. I can't call the dog back. The police are laughing at the guy. And then the guy goes across the street to the car lot after he got the dog separated from him and starts trying to rob the cars. And he went to jail that night anyways, too, after he got beat up and bit up by the dog and the police laughing at him. I mean, I've got some crazy stories, from good ones to bad ones. And a whole bunch of funny stuff in between. Oh boy. So what else would you guys like to hear?
What do you got?
I've got 30 years of stories.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Susan, you're great. I love listening to your stories. I could just sit here all day and just let you talk. So go ahead and
change. I don't know, my Chicago accent kind of sounds terrible. I'm going to listen to this episode and be horrified.
No, you sound great. I'm loving it. Like I love listening to the story. So keep them coming, man.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I got a whole list that I was thinking about. Like I said, my brother owned a radio station, and I've been listening to you for years, Tony. And that's why when you called me the other night, I was giggling like a little girl, like I'm a blonde-headed ditz. Oh, no, that's because you sound the same on the phone as you do on the radio. So, anyway, nowadays, all I get to do is sit behind and do dispatch because my situation. But anyway, I still get out there and drive over the road, though, every once in a while. Once a week, I might run to Florida. I was, you know what, when Katrina hit, here, I got a great story for you. Here's a good one. Now, we do every second weekend in November, we started in Chicago, It's called Toes for Tots, T-O-W-S, Toes for Tots. So they closed the whole Interstate I-55 down from Joliet, Illinois, all the way into Chicago for us. And I sent my flatbed full of bicycles, from little ones all the way up to 10 speeds. And my son's in a wrecker, and 55-gallon bags full of toys, one side boys, one side girls. And I told him, do it, watch, make sure none of it falls off. All the girls. Somebody had a good Christmas. By the time we got to Joliet, all the girls' stuff. We had to go run into Walmart in the middle of the night and buy a whole bunch of girls' toys to load them on the truck in the morning. Well, we started this in 2008. So New York started doing it in 2009, following it through with theirs. Okay, and then they beat us in 2010. They had more trucks. 2011, I'm late. My 3 trucks roll in line. I make the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest tow truck parade that year. 2012 comes. Sandy hits. We fill up 5, 6 53-foot trailers full of toys by the time we get through with our parade. Well, New York didn't have their parade because of that. So we took a convoy and half of our trucks and all of these, from small to big tow trucks, all the way down to New York to drop them off. And on the way back, oh my God, we hit the Alleghenies. It started snowing and people are in ditches. And I mean, it was like, la la, just lights coming through the snow, tow trucks everywhere. People were like, we're coming out of, God came down on them, begging all the way through PA, all the way back almost. We were pulling cars out of ditches, tow trucks everywhere, all Chicago trucks, working all the way home. And got it all done, and tractor trucks, thank God there were small trucks, flatbeds, semi-trucks. I mean, we had, a couple low decks. Man, we needed everything we had. Because even when the guys got out there, they didn't have enough trucks. It was too rural. They just did not have enough trucks. Those people would have been out there for hours if we didn't come in. Now, that's a good story. That was a good ending, you know.
Yeah,
because we didn't
was.
Charge the people not a dime to help them get out of that situation.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. That is really awesome.
You know, so there's a lot of good that goes in. Now we got such a bad, sorry about that. We got some bad weather, thunderstorm warning. Anyway, my trucks are running. We've been raining. I don't know about over there, but it's been raining hard here. And it's like right at, it goes down to freezing at night and then warms up during the day. It's doing that over here now. And man, all night, like, that's why it's like, call me back an hour, because I know my phone is going to start ringing. I got to run. And I'm going to be out in the rain all night. But hey, I got to keep moving, you know? Got to keep it moving.
Absolutely. So you're still dealing with winter weather out there right now?
Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you. It's the Appalachians that stops everything. We were coming back from Florida last week. We come out of Atlanta. We're coming around Chattanooga, and my son, we had two friends with us from Chicago that have never been, actually drove down, you know. So they never saw the mountains or anything. So here's my son. We got a big trailer in the back. Two lanes up the mountain, no guardrails. And we're going up to Point Pleasant on the Tennessee side, which is one of the highest mountains. There's no runoffs. There's nothing. You go, you're going straight down. And it turns into dirt after you get halfway up. And I'm just like, oh, my God, man. So, and we got, it was 80 degrees when we were at the bottom of the mountain. When we got to the Point Pleasant lookout, it was 43 degrees. We came down on the other side in the foothills of Tennessee, right in the LBL. That's where we've been looking for property. And, man, it was already 40 degrees down there. It's the mountains blocking all the heat from the Gulf coming this way. And then, of course, you know, we have Lake Michigan and we get the lousy Canadian weather and all that lake effect mess. So Chicago's a real mess in the winter. You think you always cry about Pittsburgh driving. Tony, I will come over here and I will put you in my 50 ton. You got 18 gears to jam. And try not to hot dog it, because everybody in this, when they get off the highway, all they know how to do is hot dog it, because they're all over the road drivers. And you catch them hot dogging the whole cab, just a rocking and a rocking. And I'm laughing, you know, because, like, dude, you know, you might want to switch up a gear a little bit. You know, forget first and second. Start at third or fourth, and you might do okay. You know, good Lord Almighty. But yeah, okay, so drive a 35-foot-long, 50-ton wrecker with another cab and tractor behind me. Truck about a freight train in the city of Chicago. Trying to maneuver that.
I cannot imagine that. I really cannot.
That's what I was going to say. How about that, Brian?
From your no, thank
rail
you.
To rail, there you go.
Oh, you got that right. Holy cow.
Yeah, no. It's in the streets. Oh my God, the insurance companies, they won't hesitate to call me up and send me to South Dakota in the middle of winter. You know, but that's when you called me last week from Florida. That's when I was down there picking up a truck that broke down, and my son drove with me because they broke at my house down in Florida. So he drove down there with the other truck and trailer to get the rest of my stuff out of my house before they just, oh.
So you're saying your operation is not just to Chicago, but it's like pretty much nationwide.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you work for insurance companies and you have a heavy haul, a lot of guys, well, first of all, if you have triples in Illinois, you have to have a permit to cross that state line. If you have double front axles, you have to have a permit just to get out on the highway to do an accident with it. It's horrible, Chicago. Let me tell you something. At a federal level, the towing industry is the only industry that is not regulated, government regulated, by anybody. But guess what? At a federal level, State Farm is the one that calls the shots. So that's why I know that the Illinois Towing Recovery Operators of Illinois, we have a team of lawyers and have been fighting them for years at a federal level.
So it's almost like
it's
almost like the insurance mob. State Farm's running and calling the shots.
It is. Wow. It is. It's horrible. So now I'm coming out with a 50 ton. They're trying to say, oh, doesn't matter, accident, whatever. I'm pulling a car out of the house and the house is about to fall down on me too. But that doesn't matter. You know, they don't think about all this stuff that we got to get into and figure out how to get it out without causing more damage and hurting yourself or somebody else in the process and tearing your equipment up too. Tow trucks are not cheap. Anything about it. One chain's $100. Nothing on a tow truck is cheap. that's why I build my own trucks. I don't buy new trucks anymore. Every truck I'm running right now, I built with my own two hands. I bought them for junk. One of my flatbeds I bought for $500 for a junk truck. Got the title to it. Went and bought an airport truck cab, and you know, just a cab. They had it had a V8 diesel with a 10-speed in it. Manual. I bought the airport truck. It had an inline DT-466 with an Allison in it. I put it in there, and that truck is one of the best trucks I got. I'm telling you, that's the purple and black one that I sent you the picture of with the bows on it. That's the one we were getting ready to go for Toast for Tots, and it had all the Christmas stuff on it. I had just got through painting it and stuff. I just got the motor put in. I put one of my record plates on it because I have no fuel, and I got to drive it to see if it's, I'm going to make it to the safety lane. DOT pulls me over because I crossed. Now, my shop is literally 6 blocks from the Indiana state line. So why am I going to pay $8 a gallon for diesel in Illinois when I could get it for $3.50 in Indiana? And I'm not exaggerating. It's like that. Like they said, a pack of cigarettes is like $15 over here. Well, run down to Florida right now, diesel's all under $1, $1.50, $1.60. Come up here, they still want $4 a gallon. Cross into Indiana, $1.45.
Get the heck out.
I swear, Brian, it's horrible. I'm going to take some pictures when I'm driving down the street of signs, gas station signs, so you guys can see. Chicago, you think they're making so much money, especially after January with their dispensary thing. Okay, they're in deficit so bad, but I'm sorry. The government is, from the mayor on down, the governor, they're all corrupt and they're all a bunch of Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I have a few more choice words, but yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But enough said. But yeah, State Farm is a real, there's something else. So they're trying to say we can only charge X amount of dollars for this. Never mind the mileage, never mind the wear and tear, never mind. Oh, because if we don't clean up after that accident scene, DOT is writing us tickets for thousands of dollars. So every penny that I just froze my neck out, broke my, feel like I've been ran over by a semi by the time I got home, and DOT, when I put that plate on there and they stopped me coming across the state line, four blocks from my house at that point, he said, this truck's going to be on. His opening statement was, this is how wonderful DOT is over here. This truck will be on the back of my tow truck today. My jaw just hit the steering wheel, the big old steering wheel. And I had to pick my jaw up, and he walked back to his little Ford Escape and jump out my truck. Now I'm in tears. I said, do you see how greasy I am? Do you see how dirty I am? I just put fuel in this truck and I'm building it from the ground up. Motor, transmission, driveline, everything. I welded it all myself, did the whole nine yards. How am I supposed to know if I can make it to the safety lane if I don't drive the truck? I can't even get a plate for it because I got to go to the safety lane first. I said, the plate's registered to me, the truck's registered to me, my plate. He made me sit there until another driver came to tow my truck back four blocks to my house and marked the ground with a piece of chalk and said if my truck moved 1 inch, he was taking it, and proceeded to write me $5,000 worth of tickets.
Holy,
which my lawyer charged me $200 and got me out of all of them. Because the cop was so bogus. But yeah, that's how bad they are here.
That was the best $200 you ever spent.
You know it. You know it. And that was my first and only encounter with DOT. Other than, you know, working relationship.
Right.
I have never, ever been pulled over in a truck before, ever. If anything, I'm calling the cops because something's going on, you know. But
exactly.
That's the first time I ever got smacked by DOT, and it left an ugly taste in my mouth. And now every time I see DOT, I want to run the other way. And somebody calls me for a tow at rush hour and I-290, they sit there. And because everybody's coming, that's the entrance from, that's an off way into the city without having to go around the toll road. So they sit there. And it goes straight into downtown. And all the hospital district and everything's over there. I used to drive my truck, you know, and go and see my doctor and come out and leave my truck just idling out there in the carport at the hospital. Not anymore. I won't there today. I won't. I can't. I don't know, Brian, about you. But I hear you listen and talk to you, hear you talk about road rage and how these people are so dangerous. Think about, I got lights on, I got sirens, horns. I mean, everything you could imagine possible. I mean, I've got so many lights in my, I spent thousands of dollars on each of my trucks on lights.
Wow.
And put my own police flasher system in them and everything. Because I don't want anybody to get killed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not on my watch. Not in my truck.
Nope, it's not worth it.
If I can help it.
Yes, you got that right.
And people, I don't know what they think. Here is a 50,000-pound truck coming loaded with 80,000, 100,000 behind me down the highway, and it's snowing, and you're going to cut me off. Do you think I can stop? How long do you think it's going to take me to stop?
Exactly. And people just don't pay attention.
Like you said,
you've got lights flashing. You've got, you know, what, 60, 65, 70 feet worth of truck.
Police tow.
You know, holy crap. Yeah.
Fluorescent letters all over my truck. I mean, and our outfits. I mean, We couldn't have more reflective gear on. If I even go and have reflective, our name, my name sewed in reflective. When I go to have my name put on the back of new jackets and stuff, I have pay extra for the reflective wear on there.
Wow.
Because I don't want any of my guys, or me either. And in 30 years, I could tell you I have not dropped one car. But I had a swamper working with me in a flatbed. Thank God it was a junk. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, my God. And at nighttime, we pick up a lot of, after work, you know, people sell the car. So we'll pick them up at night and junk them in the morning and start again. So you're always kind of a day behind on your pay if you're a swamper, because they get paid cash every day for junk cars.
Right.
When they junk them. So I'm coming off the bridge from the 290, what bridge was I? I'm on the I-90-94 interstate. I'm coming off the interstate. I'm on 103rd Street. It's southeast Chicago. One lane up and over a big railroad depot, police station on the opposite side of the bridge. I'm coming down the bridge and I hear clink, clank, clink, clank. And I know what that is. Chains falling. I hear. And I'm coming down. He doesn't have the car in park either. It hits the front of my truck. So, in other words, it, you know, the headboard of the flatbed, which banged onto the cab. We don't have rearview mirrors, you know, in a truck. So I'm turning around looking because I have a window in the back of my truck. And I'm looking. I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm coming down. Now it's on top of me. So what's going to happen? And I'm looking in my mirror and I see there's three cars behind me. I'm like, oh, my God. And the police station is right there. And it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm coming down. And I'm trying to hit it slow. In the meantime, I'm just going off on this guy. I ain't dropped a car in 30 years. You've been working with me for over 6 months and you can't do it. What's wrong with, you know, going off on this guy? And thank God the car, first car saw it hit my chains drop and it fly forward. So he went into the oncoming lane and they all start going around me in the oncoming lane. Thank God it was 10 o'clock at night, because when it come got down, then it went up again. And guess where the car went? Off the back of the truck.
Get out.
And but I'm moving forward. So when it, even though it went off the back, the momentum had to go forward. So now I'm watching it in my side mirror, and I just slammed on my brakes. Boom! My wheel lift went right through the radiator, grill radiator, just tore the whole front of the truck up out of the little car. I said, thank God it was a junk car, not a customer's.
Yeah, God,
I didn't have a job after that. Wow, it was his last day on the job.
Oh, my, and my word.
My son comes in next morning. Why'd you fire my friend? Oh, I don't know.
Sounds like he fired himself.
I had to get my heart out of my drawers, maybe. Oh, my gosh. You don't know how many times I... Look, and I'm one of those people, I love a roller coaster. If it didn't scare me, it's not good. I want one where I can't even scream because it's taking my breath away. That type. I'm so, it takes a lot to send me up into, you know, a panic mode, right?
Right.
But these people out here in this city, and I'm telling you, from 30 years ago to now, not doubled. Not triple. I'm telling you, there's got to be quadruplet the amount of traffic on these streets than there was 30 years ago when I first started driving. There's wow. There's so many vehicles, and it's just congested. Where I live and where I park my car, my trucks, if I had to go in the morning during rush hour, because it's rush hour, it'll take me 3 hours. When I go at 10 o'clock to pick up my truck, it takes me 30 minutes. Yeah.
That's a lot of traffic. Good Lord.
It's insane. And that's just, it's completely insane. So what do you do? See, and I'm one of those people, I'm panicking. When somebody calls me, especially if they're a regular customer of mine, and, you know, because generally when I work on one person's vehicle, I work on all their whole family's vehicle. So somebody calls me and they're broke down and it's 0 degrees out. I want to get to them as soon as possible, you know. And if and I give them an ETA after I punch it up in the system, and holy cow, I'll tell them to call 999 and have the police come and get them and leave the key under the mat, so because I'm not going to be able to get to you in time before you freeze to death. And you know what? When the accident, oh my goodness, I can't believe I didn't tell you the end of the story. When the dog was tearing up the drunk guy, flailing him around. That's when the cops were laughing at them. They cleared the accident. I started pulling the three cars apart, and there was a dead guy under the truck.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Wow.
The drunk guy went to jail. The dog tore up the drunk guy. The drunk guy went to jail for trying to rip off cars in a car lot. And I'm over there in the intersection trying to pull these cars apart. When the police are chasing this drunk guy, and a dead guy's underneath the pickup truck.
Jeez.
In the middle of the two cars.
Like you said earlier, like, welcome to Chicago. You're not kidding me. Holy crap.
Yep. That's another dead guy. I forgot. See, that's what I was telling you about my cancer brain. Didn't finish the whole story. Got caught up laughing about the dog tearing the guy up and didn't fully finish the rest of the story. It got better yet. Story wasn't over yet. Yeah. Welcome to Chicago. That's what I told my girlfriend. The second time she's ever been there. Hey, that's homicide. See his belly sticking out? I bet you can't see his winding.
Oh, wow. Welcome to Chicago. Just keep driving.
You know what? He reminds me of a driver that's been on the road eating truck stop food for the last 20 years. That's what the Chicago police homicide looked like.
Wow.
And all truck drivers know what that means when you say that truck driver's been out there for 20 years trying eating truck stop food. You know what kind of shape he's in.
Yeah, you got that right.
His waistline's, well, he doesn't have one anymore.
Well, Susan, listen, we are about out of time, but I think you're somebody we're going to want to bring back on to share more stories, because you said you had like 30 years of his stories.
I mean,
obvious.
I do. I mean, we need to keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and I have good stuff and I have bad stuff. I have a list of like 30 things that I just came off the top of my head. Like the first week I talked to you, I didn't even pull the list out the whole time I've been talking to you.
I'll tell you what, keep that list, add to it, because you're going to be somebody I guarantee you we're going to want to have back on in the future, because I like you're entertaining, you're a great storyteller, and I just want to say
thank you so much. And I will travel anywhere for y'all broke down, anybody, BNS Towing.
Go ahead and give us your number.
It was Bruce and Susan. 773 area code 383-1381.
Right on, Susan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Susan. It was awesome talking with you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate talking to y'all. It was a good time.
Well, that's sure, buddy. I really hope you enjoyed it. And Dad, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
Tony, they can share us on the internet, share us on Facebook, share us on TikTok, share us on Instagram, tell a friend, tell their whoever, leave a flyer on a windshield, whatever they can do to share the show.
Yes, please share the show, because that helps us grow in the end. And that's what we're looking to do. I thought Susan was a fantastic storyteller. What do you think, Dad?
She was. She really draws you in with her stories, and her great attitude, her personality just comes through.
Yeah, I thought so too. And so anybody who is interested in sharing their stories, just a reminder, you can shoot us an email at hammerlanelegends@gmail.com, or you can go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section and reach us that way as well. But if you got a story you've been toying around with the idea of sharing on our show, stop toying around with it and just shoot us an email. We are looking forward to it. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
I'm I'm just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you my stories. Shine on me, and I will find a song. I will sing it just for you. And now I've been moving way too fast on the runaway train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going.